here last weekend, Brenda, on their way down to Louisiana to visit, I think, some family members, wasn't it? She came back through here and had a kidney stone attack and had to go in the hospital out here at UMS, yes. And they had to go in there and do a laser, bust that thing up, and then put a stent in. And so she's on her way home today, but she still needs your prayers. So keep praying for her. I wish you'd pray God would send her to Little Rock so she can get in church. Sister Ratliff's been asking us to pray for her family. And God, I saw, was touching Sister Brenda, and I'd like to see her get in back in church. And a lot of people that knows Wes would say he can't be saved. But Sister Yvonne York says if God can save Doug York, he can save anybody. And Brother Doug said if God can save Al Ratliff, he can sure save anybody. And I have to say amen to that. So, God has already proved he's a miracle-working God to me. Amen. And Brother Ratliff has turned into just a big old teddy bear. And I'm telling you, he was meaner than a junkyard dog before he came to know the body of Christ. He'd just soon kill you as look at you. I'm telling you the truth. He could shoot you and walk away and never flinch. He'd never even blink his eye when he done it. But that's been years ago, but God has done an operation on his heart. Thank God. So, all right, there's other needs here. I hadn't mentioned there all, I'm sure. Sister Lisa. All right, friend that they had a car. Had a car wreck. All right, the family, friend of hers family had a car wreck and life was lost. Brother Matthew. All right. All right. Also remember Brother Rhodes in the Republic Church. He's in the nursing home there and loves God, but he's sure going downhill. Brother Stewart. All right. Brother and Sister Weaver. Brother Keith. Brother and Sister Dodson. Sister Abraham. All right. So remember the Keswick Church today. They're without Brother and Sister McNabb, and I'm sure they feel it. He's really the pastor there. Brother Goss is the overseer and the founder of that assembly, but he's got Brother McNabb pretty well in the driver's seat right now. So I know they would appreciate you praying for them. All right, anything else? Remember Haiti, the meeting in the Dominican Republic. Let's all ask God here to help us today with these needs that we have while the ushers come. Dear Lord, oh God, help us, Lord Jesus. Precious Savior, God, meet the needs of this assembly, those that were spoken here today. Spoken and unspoken, Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Precious Jesus. Lord, we're trusting you, looking to you as the author and finisher of our faith. Our help in the present time of need, oh God. Our trust, our confidence is in you and your help to usward, oh Father. Bless this assembly, dear God. Help us, O Lamb of God, with your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. All right. The Lord bless you as you give today.
Me up too loud because they tell me at home that I speak too loud. But you know, it's really good to be here in Little Rock. I've had a desire to come here, and the Lord's blessed us and given us our desire, and we're able to be here, and I really appreciate it. We don't always get our desires, but I guess the Lord really wanted to bless us with this one. And I've had some words on my mind, three words. It's stepping out in faith. And I was thinking about how some 30 years ago, I guess it is, some 29, 30 years ago, when the Lord touched our lives and saved us, we're going to a little Pentecostal church at that time. And my husband, Brother McNabb, didn't feel to stay there, and he felt that there was more. Like, we just wanted to work for the Lord so much. We were throwing away everything in the house that even reminded us of the world. Like, we were just so happy to have a change in our life. And then he decided we were going to go on the road with a Christian bookstore, give up my house, and give up my schooling of my children. It was going to be, if we went on the road, I was going to have to school them myself. And I thought, I don't know how I can do this. And at that time, I didn't even know about Christian education and homeschooling. I'd never heard of that. But anyways, I remember just before we left, and it becomes a scary thing. And then my husband really felt to step out in faith. And I thought, oh, I don't know if I can do this one. But, you know, God gave me the grace to do it, and I'm so glad he did, because without that, we would never have found the body of Christ, I don't believe. Because it was on that journey on the road that we came into a town of Keswick. We went there for 1 week, but we've been there ever since. God put the brakes on when we got there. And then I've also been thinking, it's you don't stop stepping out in faith once you come into the body of Christ. Just the message we're hearing and about wanting to, the ministry is always encouraging us to come up higher and be in the will of God. And that takes stepping out in faith, because Sister Durham gave me something this morning, and it happened to read. It happened to be a message Brother Smith had on. Where's the first page? Oh, the dates. Yes, it was on December 31st, 2007 at the New Year's Eve watch night service. But let me put my glasses on here. I can't see it. There was just some words in there that really spoke to me today. And it says, forget about what you think, how things look or should look, or how they ought to be. Just trust me and let me lead you and let me guide you. And, you know, the Lord is trying to renew our minds. He's trying to get us out of our mind and into his mind. Bible tells us that. And I thought, you know, you have to step out in faith. If you'll take one step, he'll take two. And he'll help you along that way. And sometimes we kind of camp. We don't want to go where the Lord wants to take us. We just become comfortable and sit there and want to go on the way we are. But every so often, you'll get into a place where he starts to deal with you, and you've got to forget about your own mind. We have a young sister that's living in the church with us right now who's going through a really difficult, difficult trial. And she can see so many things that can happen in her natural mind, that this will happen and that will happen. And we keep trying to encourage her, just trust the Lord. God has a way. Just trust him. Don't let your mind be leading you in this area. And so she's learning how to step in faith. And I told her just before we left, I says, she says, I keep trying, I want to, but I don't feel like I am. And I says, you really are learning by keep trying. If you stop striving, then you're not trying. So I said, you may not even know the impact it's having on your life at this moment till you come out of that trial, but you'll look back and you'll feel and see what God has done for you. So I just have those three words on my mind since I woke up early this morning before I got up, and those words were there, and I thought, Lord, I don't know what you wanted to say, and I didn't even know how I would put anything, but you know, God, that works that way. You just have to stand up and trust that he'll fill your mouth. So I appreciate the Lord today. I feel that I'm still in a place where I can still step out in faith. And he gives me the strength and the grace and the courage to do it. So I'm glad to be here with you all today.
Well, it is a pleasure to be here. I'm enjoying my Canadian summer. Warm, but I'm dying. I wasn't pretending with that fan. I've been roasting all week. I'll have to admit the brothers at DuCoin were pretty good. Every time I bring the fan out, they turn the air conditioner on. They were on the ball. I know one of the most difficult jobs in the church is being a sound man. If you're not on the ball, everybody knows it's you. You're the problem. And that's one of the one of the messages about judgment. You are the problem. Is that my pacemaker? Or... Boom. But I'm appreciating what Brother Smith was talking about. It goes hand in hand with the gentleness that God has for his people. I have a feeling that people have a tendency to look at God as being very harsh, and no doubt his eternal judgment could be extreme, to say the least. But he's not treating his children like that. He's very gentle about it. I'll give you a scripture over there in 1 Corinthians 11 that kind of helps me. I should take that away, right? Sorry about that. Never had that happen before. When I come here to have church with you, the reason I'm here is because I'm starving. I want to eat something. I need a drink. I need that because once I walk out those doors, a large percentage of the time, I have to deal with this little small piece of real estate. It's got a lot of power. It has a voice. And I'm supposed to reckon it to be dead, but it seems to have a lot of power attached to it. And but over in verse 27, he says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." I really do want to come in here and be a clean vessel before I get here. I want to work on that. I don't want to really come in here with a pile of problems, which I normally call the screaming memes. Have you ever had the screaming memes? Me, me, me. Are you in tune? Me, 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 me. And you can try and cover it up. You can look good when you get in here, but if you're sensitive to God's Spirit, he ain't going to let you get away with it. Sorry for using the word ain't. But it has an effect. But it says, "But let a man examine himself." We have an opportunity to examine ourselves. We don't have to worry that much about God judging us if we would just take a look at ourselves and not bury our head in the sand. You were talking about no guile, no deceit, Brother Smith. And you need to work on that. If you can deceive yourself into thinking that you're okay, while you're busy saying you're okay, you're always busy saying nobody else is okay. And then, of course, now you really got a problem. And I know if you take a look at court cases, the judge, he's certainly most merciful to those who have confessed their crime without having a whole pile of police chase them and a whole big investigation and a big court case. And if he comes humble before the court, the judge generally gives him a pretty small tap on the wrist. He says, "You know, you need to get on your way with your life and move on and don't get into that situation again." Even the worldly courts operate like that. But if you start trying to justify yourself, and hiding it, trying to bury it, make them go to a lot of expense, spend a couple of $1 million to find out that you are guilty. When it's time for sentencing, you have really no right to complain about the 25 years you're going to get. You've allowed them to do it. Well, I think God operates that way. You know, we have an opportunity to examine ourselves, and when we see a problem, we don't have to worry about all the problems that we're going to deal with down the road. We just got to deal with the one that we got today. And have you ever had a problem that, you know, just doesn't go away? I know I have. I had experiences in regards to how being under a man in a direct way. I've been with Brother Goss for almost 30 years. And sort of like a little boy, you're holding your father's hand at the beginning, and you're wanting to grow up, develop, step out in certain areas, and you think you're qualified or capable of doing certain things, and you find out you're not, and God will put you to the test. I was in a grocery store one day. We were going to have a convention, and we went there to buy the apple pies for the meeting, and Brother Goss said to me, he said, "Now be careful how you handle these pies, because you'll break them." And you know, that did not sit well with me. My spirit come up inside. I didn't know. I never said a word. But he knew me. And he says, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. It's the way you're acting right now." I mean, I really thought I had it hit. And the Spirit of God come on me. And I sat quiet in the car as we're going over to the church. And you know where that dog kennel is today? That was my woodshed. I went in behind there, and I started to bawl like a little baby. And I felt so ashamed that I would allow myself to get revealed in such a silly little matter, like a crumbling apple pie. You know, have you ever failed God over something so simple? You know, it's frustrating and it's embarrassing, but God uses it to break us down into what he wants us to be. And I'm noticing I've been away from, well, other than your convention that you had, I guess, was that last year you had your meeting? It was 27 months since my wife and I had been here prior to that. And I'm seeing how your young people have changed so much that I can barely recognize some of them. You know, there's a natural change taking place in their lives. We all go through it. When you get older like myself, the change isn't so rapid. I didn't just one day have hair and the next day not have any hair. That was a process. My daughter says I have wavy hair. It's waving goodbye. And you ever seen a bald man's brush? It has no bristles. My daughter used to really nail me for these things. She was getting even because I used to embarrass her a lot, because I was one of those daddies that would deal with my daughter's problems right then and there. I wasn't very merciful, but it worked. And but when I see how rapidly the young people are changing in their outward appearance, young Nathan, he was a little boy laying on a pew just a short while ago. Now he's a 15-year-old man, probably figuring he's going to get married in a few years. You know, I find that amazing. Now, you really want to get a good one? Brother Nathan, there was a time when he was interested in my daughter. And now look at him. The sound man, the techie. And how many children? The next time I get here, I'll be a grandfather. No rush. Believe me, it's going to rush you. uh, The reason I'm emphasizing that is because you don't really have that much time to deal with your problems. One of the wonderful things about being under this ministry that you have here is that this ministry is seeing the times. I'm thankful that I've been exposed to it. I'm thankful that I was exposed to Brother Lineker. I'll share something with you. Down in Haiti, Brother Goss and I have been going to Haiti he's been going for 30 years and I've been going for 29 years. But we haven't gone the last few years for different reasons. But Brother Lineker was standing out to me when I was a very young man in the body. And I walked up to him when we were in a place called Lejeune, Haiti. It's way, way, way up in the north part of the island near the border of Dominican Republic. I remember going to him and said, Brother Lineker, I don't understand hardly a thing you're saying to me, but every time you speak, my heart is going like this. I mean, I could not stand up. You know, I was in the presence of God. And this is what happened to me. And you know, you start to cry. Have you ever seen Brother Lineker cry? Brother, he bawled like a baby. I mean, he really cried. He couldn't stop. He was sobbing. And I didn't see Brother Lineker as being that kind of a man. But I gained strength from that experience. Not long after, my pastor started to take an extreme liking towards Brother Lineker and started to look towards him as for a lot of counsel. And I saw a lot of change take place in our assembly because of that council. And I felt like I was in a safe place. We ended up one time going to a meeting. I believe it was in Godfrey, Illinois. Brother Smith, I'd never met him before, and he got up and he sang a song. And now I know. How's that go? Yeah, not, you ask me why. Now you ask. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And the same thing that happened to me with Brother Lineker came over me with you. And you started to talk about donkeys, mules. Do you recall that message? Didn't have a clue what you were talking about. I didn't know anything about mules. I just took your word for it. But it was the spirit that was coming from you. And then I saw Brother Lineker and Brother Smith get connected. That gave me great comfort. And, you know, I was one of these, if I ever did a disobedient thing that paid off, as I was at the campground, I started buying these books. I was told I wasn't supposed to do it, but I dug deep in my pocket and I bought them. I started reading them. They were starting to come alive to me. And and I could see that there was a lot of truth involved in the timing that we have to go through. Timing is so important. I was always a person of punctuality. If you're late. Sister, don't worry. I'm not. When I say late, I don't mean military discipline that way. When punctual, I'm talking about where you can be late and be in the will of God, but you want to be on time. You don't want to displease anybody. You don't want to put anyone out. And so your mind is on those things. And my mind is on these things. Timing is very important.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know why you're here today? It's because it's the time. If you didn't know the clocks went forth last night, you'd been in trouble. You you'd be late. And there's all kinds of people that are late right now. The world is late. They're behind. Do you know when they come in the church, one of the biggest problems is they think you're so far ahead and they're so far behind that they'll never catch up? That is, I believe, is one of the greatest problems we have in the churches, is when they come in, they don't think they can catch up. And that discourages them. We got to reach behind. And when we're climbing up that mountain, we got to make sure we don't leave anybody behind. You got to grab hold of them and say, you can make it. Because that's what's going on. They're not going to tell you that they feel that way. It's your job to feel that way for them. And nothing worse than missing dinner and all the food's gone. If you know my relationship with food, you know exactly where I'm coming from. I do have a reputation. And so I'm not going to say too much. I just want to encourage you to make sure you don't leave anyone behind. I want to get home real soon, because I got people back there that don't want to get left behind. They need to have somebody to hold their hand. They really do. And they need to have somebody who can tell time for them. You're a blessed people. You got somebody here who can tell time for you. If you don't know how to tell time, there is someone here who can tell time. And you've got a bunch of brothers here that are supporting in the ministry, that all one accord on the timing. I don't feel any division working in the ministry. That's what I like about the assembly I'm in. There's no division in the ministry. When there's, I've got Brother John Jones in our assembly. I've been with him for 29 years. We have never, ever, ever had a cross word in any way, shape, or form. Never. And I've never had a problem with Brother Roderick. And we've now got a young brother from Haiti through Orlando. And he arrived in Brother Goss's church and surrendered his will under Brother Goss's ministry. He could have started his own work in Toronto, but he didn't feel safe, and he came under Brother Goss, and he's so willing. And he's never heard all these things that we have. And he's, if you ever want to see somebody who can eat, he would stay up 24 hours and just listen and listen and listen, and never argues. Doesn't show up any resistance. He might ask a few questions, but he gives us an opportunity to tell him what time it is. And God is blessing him. And just recently, that massive earthquake, he lost his daughter down in Haiti. That was difficult. But that didn't stop him from having church down in Toronto and being on the job and being on time for his people. He sucked it up, as they said. He wasn't dwelling in his personal pain, but he just allowed God to look over. And he's a great example. And we're blessed to have him. And there's going to be all kinds of people breaking down this door one day to get in here, because it's sinking out there. Someone was talking about correcting children. My wife and I were in a Walmart one night. The wide corridors? I mean, they're wider than that corridor there, or that aisle. And my wife and I had to move over quite a ways in order to get out of the way of this mother and a child. They took up the whole thing. And I looked at my wife and I says, one day she's going to say, where did I go wrong with my son? And I'll say, in a Walmart store. You fail. You can fail everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. In Proverbs, I'm just going to touch on another little subject here. Proverbs 3. Do you know how many people brag on saying, I'm from the school of hard knocks? I learned the hard way. Like, why would you brag on that? What do you gain by being a slow learner? Or spiritually challenged? What do you gain in that? How does that build anything? But Jesus, he learned everything through instruction. His father said, I don't do nothing unless my father tells me. You know how easy it is just to go to your father and say, what would you like me to do today? It takes a lot of pressure off you. And as you grow up, you don't realize, you come to the realization you don't have to ask because you already have his mind. You don't have to. My son, when he was 17, he wanted to get some. He says, Dad, can I have some milk? I said, you're 17 years old. The milk's there for you, not me. Oh, okay. But you know, it took him 17 years to get that out of him. But once he was told he was old enough, well, except sometimes you got to be told you're old enough. But verse 1 of chapter 3, he says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, a long life, and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, and write them upon the table of your heart. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. And you know, in the New Testament, it was said that Jesus found favor with his Father and with man. We need to find favor with everyone. We ought not to let people in the world irritate us and make them feel that that we're better than them just because we've already bought into the life insurance program. You know, life insurance is one of the most difficult things to sell in the world. It's an intangible. People can't see it, they can't touch it, they can't grab it. And it only pays off when you die. And a lot of Italian men don't like to buy life insurance because they think their wife's going to go and use it with somebody else. It's a hard thing to sell. And it's a hard sell to sell the life of Christ because they feel that it's going to cost them too much. And people, they're saying that it's too hard to be a Christian. I don't find being a Christian a difficult thing. What I found difficult was not knowing where I was going. Laying in my bed at nighttime wondering what is life all about. What is the purpose? Why are people so mean to one another? Why this? Why that? And no answers. No solutions. No way out. And then when I found it, the greatest revelation I felt that I received was the fact that God was the authority over everything. That really made me feel good, to know that there was somebody behind everything. And that he has all the answers, he's all in all, through it all, in it all, and has final word in every situation. I find that very peaceful, very relaxing, soothing to my mind. And so I want to learn through instruction. I want to sit under. I like sitting under somebody. I enjoy that. I don't find that difficult. You know, Brother Goss, he went through a major piece of surgery recently. You know, he spends more money on his health than I would in a lifetime. But he's a healthy man. But he had these 5 plugged arteries. Well, he had 4 when he went into the surgery. He came out knowing he had 5. But he's in better shape 4 weeks after the surgery than I am now. He's really, really doing extremely well. And he has his mind on his health. He's always thinking that way. If you have your mind on something, whatever it might be, it will develop for you. Now, what was I going to say about his health? Praise God. I got down the wrong road, didn't I? Praise God. Yeah, okay. I'll get off that road. Praise God. What was it? Is this what happens when you're 61? Okay. No, I'm not going to worry about it. Do you know my wife forgot the stiffeners in my neck, my collar? You know, I'm not blaming her. That's her department. That's the only reason I'm mentioning it. You know how many times I've had to put these things down today? I'm looking up there and I'm saying, man, I look like Bozo the Clown. I got to get these things down. Do you know how that can distract you? Is that vain? Oh, Lord. I know what it was. prior to him going into surgery, he started to go over all the things that he would like to have done if for any reason he didn't survive the surgery. And he said, I would really like you to work well with Brother Smith. I said, Brother Goss, you'll never have to worry about whether I work well with Brother Smith. I said, I would want to be under Brother Smith because there's so much safety being under someone. I would never want to be working on my own. I wouldn't feel strong enough. I would have to have somebody. If it weren't Brother Smith, it would have to be someone else. But I'm comfortable with Brother Smith. God, I believe Brother God, or the Lord put Brother Smith in my heart as well as he did Brother Lineker. I feel comfortable about that. I know he put Brother Goss in my heart. And I know that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And I have confidence in that. I don't have to think too many times whether it was right or wrong. If you want to be honest with God, say, just where do you want me? And whatever it is, I'll do it. Doesn't have to be your way all the time. But you're a blessed people to have Brother Smith. And I'm not patronizing or... I just really appreciate Brother Smith. That's all I want you to know. I really do appreciate this man. And I see that he's a friend to Brother Goss. And Brother Goss sees him as a friend. And that's very, very important to have a friend. Someone that you can relate to. That's why I like being married. I got someone I can relate to. So anyways, I'm sorry I've taken up all this time, but I appreciate being in Little Rock. And I'd like to come back one day. Praise God.
Might mention the I know they announced the other night the youth that's coming. Brother Dave's is sending us some youth, and it's I had told them wrong. It's the last Wednesday in June, not July. The last Wednesday in June. There's about 40 youth coming. We'll need to have beds for them, but they'll be in service with us. It'll be a youth service night for us. So I'm looking forward to that, aren't you?
Yes.
Appreciate the Lord considering us, letting them come our way. All right. Thank you.
Could y'all put up the verses, please? I can trust Jesus.
Could no longer fly. He brushed off its wounds and then watched it soar into the sky. If he's mindful of on this I can depend. I am his child, and I can place all my trust in him. I can trust God's hand and kept right on trusting in his word. My wants and God's desires don't always agree, but I lean on his will, for he always knows what's best for me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never. prayed some prayers and felt they never were heard. But I held to God's hand and kept right on trusting in His Word. My wants and God's desires don't always agree, but I lean on His will, for He always knows what's best for me. I can trust
it to a scripture that I love dearly. In the book of Peter, cast all your burdens upon the Lord because He cares for us. We can put confidence in that, can't we? He's concerned about us, loves us. Scripture says, if His eye is on the sparrow, and I got an old-fashioned gas light out in my front yard, is no good anymore. And the little sparrows, I put an artificial fern in that where the glass is all broken out. So the little sparrows, they build a nest out there. One day I thought about, I'm gonna run these sparrows off, I'm tired of that. I thought, they may have rented that little place through the Lord. So I don't try to run them off no more. I even talked to them. Hey, y'all didn't talk to me about this. Just moved in. Especially when I heard the little babies chirping, and I couldn't do it. Oh, man. God is good to us, isn't He? Man, He takes care of us in so many ways. The choir used to sing a song that I must tell Jesus that I cannot bear these burdens alone. And I appreciate Brother McNabb's words today too. Thankful that he's here with us and his wife. And just thankful for the many blessings of God. I was talking with Brother Durham this morning, and he gave me a direct answer about a scripture, but I want to use it another way. And I was reading in the book of Leviticus. I'm trying to read my Bible through, and I have a lot of interference, you know how that is. But anyway, the children of Israel were getting ready to cross over and get things all set up. And they come upon, I don't know what group of people it was. The Canaanites were there, the Kenites, all the ites. And they were petitioning to go through this land. And they told the people in charge that we won't eat your groceries. We won't bother your fruit. We won't even drink your water. we just want to pass through. We got a destination. We got a place of our own. And said, we'll just go on the King's Highway. That's where we are today. We're on the King's Highway. We don't want what this world has. We just want passage through, don't we? We want to get by. We want to get by. We don't want to eat their groceries. We don't want to buy none. We got our own. We're going to have bananas and grapefruits on the other side. Just let us go through. How many wants to go through today? I want to go through, don't you? I want to go through. The more I hear from this ministry and how they saved my life one day, the Word of God saved my life. This is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me when God brought me to this people and opened my understanding. It does something for me. To hear the Word of God, it was like something leaped in my soul that this is where you should be. I thought as we were singing today, fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup. Man, I had a cup that I couldn't get filled for nothing out in the world. I couldn't get it filled. Of course, when I come to God, I just brought a bottle. I just brought a bottle. But I knew from Brother Tucker's talk and teaching, I had to empty out that old bottle of Southern Comfort. And so I slipped around back and poured it out and brought it back into church and let God fill it with something else. And I've been happy ever since. That he filled my cup one day, to fill that longing I had in my heart. Are you thirsty today? I thought along with that chorus they were singing, I believe it's in Isaiah 56. Isaiah made a call. He said, come on, everyone that's thirsty, and come to the waters and drink. And so this is not a dry county, you know that? This is not a dry county. No, you can get a drink here. It said, come and buy. Come and buy wine. You want to drink a wine today, Josh? You want a glass of red wine? All right. Josh said he want one. He'll take one. And all right. And for children, hey, you can get a glass of milk. But we're thirsty people. And we're hungry too, Brother McNabb, not naturally, but we're spiritually hungry people. Of course, we're going to go down and eat here in a little bit. But I just appreciate the joy of salvation. The wonderful things of God. I have not seen, I have not heard what God has in store for those that love him. But I want to stick around, don't you? And see what God has for his people and for his church today. I'm just thankful to be here. Thankful for the many blessings God has bestowed upon us. I tell you what, our future looks better than our past for some of us. I know for me it does. Our future looks better than our past. And I'm still running up the King's Highway. Praise God, getting the soles fixed on my shoes. I'm going on another mile. I appreciate God today and his love and care for us.
Praise the Lord. I just want to mention, I'd like to have next Sunday night to be a youth night. I really enjoy these youth nights that our youth have been having. And I really appreciate our youth. And I want you guys, you know, seem like y'all hit a little lull there. I want y'all to get it picked back up. You were inspiring all of us and helping us. And every one of you have gifts. Every one of you have something that you can help one another and help this assembly with. I was just listening today at Brother Caleb on those drums. I tell you, he's doing a good job. I hear him over there. I notice a big difference in when he, you know, just a couple of years ago, he played good then, but he's picked it up a notch. He's kicked it up another notch. I appreciate that. And it adds to our music. And all of you brethren. Yeah, Brother Durham said he's pushing Joel. So, but all of y'all, whether it's testimonies or witness or song or just being a part of the youth is an important thing for an assembly. And I just wonder if the youth would sing for us this morning. The pork chops aren't ready. So I don't want uncooked pork chops for dinner. I'd rather hear a song than I had to eat an old cold pork chop. So I wonder if the youth would sing for us this morning. Just kind of give us a little shot in the arm. We hadn't heard from you just here recently. So how about coming and singing for us? We've got, I'll tell you, this church is blessed with a good group of young people. Yeah, good talents, yes, and good hearts. They all, every one of them, get in and worship and praise God, speak in tongues, and just feel their heart that they love God. And while I'm talking here and they're getting ready, I know Brother Durham will say something at some point, but I just want to thank all of you that went and helped Brother and Sister Durham unload their furniture. They come in yesterday evening about 5 o'clock with all of their paraphernalia from Missouri. They got it unloaded. Brother Durham called me. He said, "I'm a full-fledged Arkansasian." And if you weren't called and asked to help, it wasn't because we wanted to slight you. They unloaded it all in a storage room, and you can just get so many men going in and out of a storage room. So really, we spared you, but we put your name up on the board for the next load. So we haven't forgot anybody. All right, God bless our youth.
The ground, I'm gonna rise with a shout, gonna fly, gonna ride with my Lord in the sky. Heaven is near and I can stay here. Goodbye, Lord, goodbye.
After waiting very long, for Jesus is soon to return. And I'll never fear, or I will leave here. My heart aches in tears evermore.
A day, maybe two, think goodbye. Tomorrow and fly. Heaven is near and I can stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye.
Won't you weep for me when I'm gone? Cause I won't have to leave here alone. And when I hear that last trumpet sound, my feet will stay on the ground. Don't go out to the shout, gonna fly. Gonna ride with my Lord to the sky. Heaven is near and I can stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye. For me when I'm gone. Cause I won't. We'll stay on the ground. I'm gonna ride with a shout, gonna fly. Gonna ride with my Lord to the sky. Oh, heaven is near and I can stay here. Goodbye, world, goodbye.
Oh, my troubles, goodbye. Goodbye to each tear.
Yeah.
That was a pork chop song, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Sister Smith says, that's a song I want you to sing at my funeral. She said, you can sit down for just a minute. She said, don't weep for me when I'm gone. She said, I want y'all to shout. Be happy. No, don't be thanking God that she's gone. She just wants us to know that, you know, she's planning on leaving here in victory, and so she don't want us crying too much about it. April Michelle Bozeman. Anybody would know how to contact her? We've got her Arkansas non-driver's identification ID here. So it's up here. I think she came in our service, I think, from... Seemed like she was going by or out in the parking lot. Somebody invited her in. But anyway, I think she's dropped her ID. So if anyone happens to ask you about it, well, just let her know that we've got it up here on the platform. All right. I feel like I've been to church today. It's good inspiration of the Lord in here. And I appreciate it. Before we pray for the food and everything, is there any announcements that we need to announce or anything that's urgent that we've left out as far as prayers concerned or any needs that you know of? I want to tell you all that I asked for an alms offering last week, and you responded in a generous way and gave a good alms offering, and we were able to meet some needs that needed to be met. And so I want to thank you. I appreciate a congregation of people that listen and respond when there's a time of need. So I just wanted you to know that we were able to meet. You were able, really, to meet some needs that this assembly has here locally. So, are we ready, Brother Stewart? 10 more minutes. All right. Well, all right. Well, we could. We do have singers we hardly ever use, you know, even Sister Rochella and Sister Rochella, you ain't listening to me. No.